My name is Jennifer Marsman, and in today's episode, I am really excited to share with you some work that I've done on using EEG in conjunction with Azure Machine Learning to perform lie detection. So being able to predict if someone is telling the truth or lying. So let me take a step back. What is EEG? So what I'm wearing right now is a headset that actually reads EEG. And it's just essentially, this is a non-invasive method of recording electrical activity from your brain. That's all EEG is. It's these brain waves. And so this headset is a headset called the Epic Plus from a company by the name of Emotive. And I have one of these, and it allows me to capture raw EEG data. So I am storing off some data and then sending that into Azure Machine Learning to do some lie detection. So let me start by just showing you a little bit more about what this headset can do. So this is a piece of packaged software that comes with the headset, called the Epic Control Panel. Now this was made by the company called Emotive. So let me just walk you through some of what you can do with this headset. First of all, there's a nice screen for headset setup. So right now you can see there's actually 14 different channels that are touching my head. I did before starting this, I actually took a little bit of saline solution, just the same thing I use for contact lenses, and put on a little bit on each of these little felt pads so that they can conduct well. So I have all of that kind of set up. You do that and then get it on your head. And then when it's all working properly and you're getting good readings from all of them, they all go green. So that gives us kind of the highest contact quality. But there's kind of lowering levels too that show when the contact quality is getting less good. So it'll start to turn, those green nodes will turn yellow, and then orange, and then red, and then black, depending on the quality of how well the contact is working. So let's look at this. So we have a couple other things that come with it, and all of this is exposed via APIs that you can utilize here. But the first is this expressive suite. So what this does is allow you to pick up gestures with your face. So for example, if I wink, you can see my little avatar doing the same thing on the screen. Let's try the other eye. There we go, and smile, which is good. You can clench your teeth a little bit like that. I'm gonna get a little clench thing, yep. You can blink, and then looking left and looking right. You can see some things like that, smiling, raising your brows. You can see him moving there. So kind of some neat stuff. So that tells us two things. Number one, that it does give us that EEG is inherently noisy data, right? There are these APIs that expose these facial expressions to you. But I do have to make sure that I am also getting as good readings as I can, because just movements of your face affect EEG. Let's go next to the cognitive suite. Now, this is very cool stuff here. What I can do with this particular tool is figure out, actually map thoughts to an action. So for example, if I visualize in my head an action, doing an action with that cube, I can train it based on that thought pattern and then have that action really work in real life. So to do that, if you're familiar with machine learning, you have to get kind of a training set. So what I'm going to do is start by providing a baseline. So this is just a record of mental activity of what's going on in my mind when I'm not thinking about anything in particular. So I'm just going to start by recording this neutral. It's going to take 8 seconds to record. So you're going to have to deal with a nice uncomfortable silence. But I'm just going to relax here and just think about nothing in particular for about 8 seconds. I'm also going to close my eyes just because, as you see, the EEG data does affect. So I'm going to try this for 8 seconds. All right, so that was just a neutral training. So I was thinking about nothing really in particular. All right, so now we've got kind of a baseline of my mental activity. So now what I'm going to do is think something very strongly in my mind. And let's actually do the movement of pull. So I'm going to visualize pulling that cube, that little floating cube that you see there. I'm going to visualize pulling that cube towards me. And I don't necessarily have to be thinking pull, pull, but what I'm going to do is just visualize pull, pull. And I want to repeat it, but it's actually more effective if you actually just think one long pull, like through the whole 8 seconds, and not keep repeating the same thing in short bursts. So now I'm going to think about and just visualize in my head pulling that thing towards me as hard as I can for 8 seconds. All right, here we go. Don't make me laugh. Here we go. All right, so I'm going to accept the training. Yes, we're updating that. Now I'm going to visualize pulling it towards me. Here we go. How cool is that, right? Did you see it? Pull. All right, wasn't that cool? How neat is that? All right, so let's move on. So now you've seen the power of the Emotive Epic headset. And so let's talk about what I wanted to do with this, with my new little toy. My idea was to try to predict lie detection. All right, so figure out if someone is telling the truth or lying based on their EEG. Now, the way that lie detection is typically done, there's a number of things that are measured. So things like your heart rate, the amount of sweat on your skin, things like that are typically done. But critics are arguing that that doesn't actually give you a good sense of whether or not they're telling a lie. It just tells you how emotional they feel. So how strong of an emotion is it? So there's a lot of people who argue that, you know, a polygraph is not a good indication. So can we do this any better with EEG? So that was my goal. And I have a number of tools that I used. This headset, along with a piece of software from Emotive called the Test Bench, that allowed me to get all of that raw EEG data and annotate it. At specific points. I'll show you that in a second. And then I used Excel and Microsoft Azure machine learning. So here was my actual procedure. I took my husband, Eric, and sat him down and put this on his head. And I had him sit relaxed in a chair. And I did ask him to close his eyes and kind of just try to relax for two different reasons. Number one, I wanted him to close his eyes because I wanted to minimize the amount of facial expressions he was making. We already saw from the demo earlier that facial movements, you know, smiling and moving your eyes and stuff like that, affects the EEG data because it can register it from there. So I wanted to try to minimize noise of facial expressions in the EEG data and just kind of make it as simple as possible there. And the second reason I wanted him to close his eyes is because I didn't want him reading the questions along with me and anticipating. I wanted to try to capture the exact moment when he was thinking of his response and whether he was telling the truth or lying. All right, so then I ran a tool called Emotive Test Bench, and I can show that to you real quick if you want. So this is the Emotive Test Bench software, and what this is giving me is a visualization of those 14 channels, which you saw as the sensors that are on my head right now. And you can turn them on and off. There's nice filters right here. So it's showing all 14 of those brainwave signals that it's sending in. And so what I did during this experiment procedure was I would ask Eric a question, and then I would hit send on this question app. And that allowed me to create data that was annotated with the exact moment that I was asking him that question. And then that allowed me to then go back and be able to extract out those moments in his EEG where he was actually doing the thinking, you know, hearing the question, choosing to lie or tell the truth, and then giving me the appropriate answer. So that's what enabled me to kind of mark up the data using this software right here. And then let me show you what the actual data looks like. So this is an example of an Excel spreadsheet that gets generated by the tool. It's actually generated in a proprietary format, but then there's a converter to convert it to CSV. These are the 14 channels of data. So you saw that there was these 14 sensors on my mind, and this is what gives us the actual reading of the value of the data that's coming in from each of those channels. We also have some information here. There's a gyroscope in the headset, so you get some information on X and Y values of how it's moving, how your head is tilted, and things like that. Then we have the marker column. Now, this is extremely important because this has the value of 1 right at that moment when I asked the question and I sent that marker from the test bench tool. And right now, you can see it actually takes readings. The sampling rate is 128 readings per second. So that's taking a reading approximately every 8 milliseconds. So we're getting pretty good granularity here. They also include the timestamp. Now they have a separate column for timestamp in seconds and timestamp in milliseconds. And so I actually combine them to make the math a little bit easier. In another column. And then it has contact quality. So what this is, remember how you saw in the demo that those nodes were all showing as green, so it was getting good contact quality? Well, in this run, Eric hadn't put on the headset yet, so we're getting all zeros here. And then as we go down a little further, you can see they turn to all fours. So four is the green, is that perfect good contact quality. So you can use this this contact quality data to do some good data cleaning. Throw out data, you know, before you put the headset on, or when the little nodes, the sensors aren't giving you good data yet. You can just kind of toss that data out. So we have a number, we have 14 channels of that as well. And then starting from here, from this column, this is the data that I added myself that didn't actually come from the test bench tool. I added an is truth column because I ran, the way I did this procedure was first I had Eric give me the correct answer. So tell me the truth to this list of questions. And then I asked him, I recorded off that run, and then I asked him, I went through the whole process again and had him lie to me on each of these questions. So I annotated this data with an is truth column, and this is the lie data. So is truth was zero for this particular file. And then this is the time column I made where I just did, 1,000 times the seconds plus milliseconds is the actual time that we care about here. And then I was doing some stuff with session ID to essentially grab that area where marker equals one and then some of the data around it. And then I could turn that into an individual session or kind of one question being asked. And then there's a user ID column as well that will come into play as I add more users into this. Right now I'm basically detecting if my husband is telling the truth or lying, which is a good thing to know. But I'd love to expand this to be able to generically be able to tell if any person is telling the truth or lying. So you saw the test bench software and the Excel that it produced. So that was my procedure. I sent that marker and asked the following questions. I wanted to ask generic yes or no questions. Something that there wasn't a lot of, maybe like, does this dress make me look fat? There may be shades of gray in a question like that. So I tried to ask very fact-based yes or no questions. And then I also really like the questions at the bottom. The questions, do you have a dog? Do you have a PhD? Do you have red hair? Just because you can't easily anticipate them, so I could more easily target exactly when Eric was doing his mental processing. Because a question like, were you born in 1978? Once he hears born, if he's heard that question multiple times, he can start to anticipate his answer, and he might actually start thinking about his response, then. And since you saw that data is, my marker is accurate to like the millisecond level, I wanted to kind of get that as accurate as possible. So with the do you have a whatever questions, you can't really anticipate that until the very end. So again, just all these things we're thinking about during this procedure. So I asked that list of eight questions. I asked them three times just because in some of my research, since EEG is such noisy data, they say to ask multiple times and then take averages. So I wanted to do that as well. And again, he just answered each one with yes or no, with his eyes closed, relaxed, trying to get minimal, facial data in there too. So I asked him all these questions and had him tell me the truth, and then had him lie to me. And then I actually did a run where we kind of mixed back and forth as well. All right, so this was the actual testing procedure. You can see some pictures of him wearing the headset and what that looked like. And then initially I had an issue around sensor quality on the very first run of the data. That's not an issue anymore. As you see, I figured out the tricks to make this headset run well and run all green. So now here is some interesting research I wanted to mention just very, very quickly. There's something called the P300 ERP response. And it essentially measures recognition. So you know when you're walking down the street and you see like a familiar face walk by and there's just that second of, I know that person from somewhere, that flash of recognition. So essentially your brain does do that, instinctively. And so this a number of government organizations have actually experimented with using EEG to do lie detection in conjunction with this recognition factor. So imagine having a suspect sitting down and being able to read their EEG, and you put in front of them pictures that only the person who committed the crime would know about. So maybe it's a picture of the crime scene or the murder weapon or whatever, something that would only the person who did the crime would know or would recognize. So you get now a kind of lie detection or polygraph session where the person doesn't even have to talk. It's not anything where they can't fake it as easily because your brain instinctively does this little dip. And I'll show you what it looks like right here. Essentially, you see this P3, this lower dip right here, that happens approximately 300 to 500 seconds after the stimuli. That is that recognition dip. And so you can see that when you put an image up in front of them and they have that recognition, that blast of recognition for the scene of the crime or whatever, you can use that to detect guilt. So other work is being done on this. It's very exciting. This doesn't exactly correlate to what I was doing because I was asking yes or no questions, which doesn't use recognition. It's actually more of the kind of creative process versus recall in your brain that I was messing with. But this was very interesting to me in that it's another case of using EEG for lie detection. And it gave me a sense of the amount of time after the stimuli that things were happening. So in this case, it was a between 300 and 500 millisecond response. So that gave me a good sense of, okay, when, you know, what data should I pull out? How much data do I need? How fast are these things happening? So very, very cool stuff there. I also threw in here a little graphic that shows the sensor positions. That's useful because you can then see on that data where those line up. So maybe there's a specific part of your brain that's responsible for the creative process, and that's activated when you lie, and you know, recall would be activated when you're doing the truth. So I did put in, you can see those all correspond to the columns that you saw in that Excel data spreadsheet. So that's where all of those columns are actually on the headset. All right, so now enter Azure Machine Learning. Now this is an amazing tool. What it allowed me to do is very, very quickly and easily design an experiment and be able to use well-known, well-tested algorithms that are used today by researchers at Microsoft to help me figure out how to do lie detection. So Azure Machine Learning has currently 25 different machine learning algorithms that you can utilize. There's also modules for importing and cleaning data, things like removing missing rows of data or annotating metadata, just telling it, hey, like these numbers, like a zip code, for example, even though that's a number, don't try to average it or anything because it's actually really a category or a bucket of data rather than a number that you want to do numerical things on. Like the average of a zip code isn't going to help me at all. So it allows you to do a lot of really neat things around that. And then you can create experiments to train and test models. And then once you have a trained model that works well, expose it and publish it as a web service that can be accessed via REST. So there are a number of high-level categories of algorithms in Azure Machine Learning. There's actually four, clustering, regression, classification, and anomaly detection. So let me talk about each of those really, really briefly. Essentially, clustering is a good, it's an unsupervised algorithm. So that means what it essentially can do is create clusters over your data. It's good for like data exploration and kind of creating groupings of the data in interesting ways. So think about, for example, if I wanted to create like a movie recommendation engine, as my little example shows right there. So pretend I really love, you know, movies A, B, C, and X, and somebody else really loves movies A, B, C, and Y. Well, since we have those A, B, C movies that we both love in common, we could create essentially a Venn diagram where, you know, we have, you know, a lot of stuff in common, and then you could do a recommendation engine where you essentially recommend movie Y to me and movie X that I liked to that other person, because we tend to like other things in common, so we might like that one in common too. So things like that you can do in a very interesting way. So that's what clustering can do. It can find interesting patterns and groupings in your data. Now the other two, regression and classification, what those do are allow you, those are examples of supervised learning. So essentially what you do there is give the algorithm a lot of data with inputs and a given output. So in that regression example right there, I have a little housing for sale example. So let's say we gave the algorithm a whole bunch of examples of a house for a given square footage, a given zip code, because housing prices vary very much depending on location, right? So let's say we have zip code, square footage, number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms, you know, stuff like that, and then we have the price for that house. We could pass all that data into Azure Machine Learning and create a model, and then based on that, be able to then send in new data. So for this house with this square footage and this zip code with this number of bedrooms and bathrooms, how much should it cost? And then it can do a great job of predicting based on that known data. And so that's what regression essentially does, and classification as well. Now, the main difference between the two of those algorithms, regression versus classification, is that regression predicts values on a continuum, whereas classification predicts like discrete buckets of data. So the regression example I gave, maybe I have some data that says, you know, for a house with, 2,000 square feet in such and such a zip code, it costs, $200,000. And then another house of 3,000 square feet in the same zip code costs $300,000. And I might be able to pass in something, all right, for 100 square feet. What would that be? What would the output there? And it could accurately predict, $250,000, even though it had never seen an example mapping to that, right? Because it's dealing with values on a continuum and it can extrapolate between those. All right, so that's regression. Now, classification, that one is more of a grouping it into categories, so discrete buckets. So an example there I have is a breast cancer. So given a series of medical information on a woman, can we determine yes or no she will get breast cancer? So yes, she will get breast cancer, or no, she won't. And so the problem that I am trying to solve right now around lie detection is a, can you guess it? Classification problem. So classification, I'm trying to determine, is it a truth? Are they telling the truth or are they telling a lie? So it's two discrete buckets, not values on a continuum, and I'm trying to predict. So this is a classification problem. And then the last one, anomaly detection, I didn't mention on this slide, but essentially what that is the ability to do the same thing only when, so right now I have truth and lies and they're approximately the same amount of information. Now with anomaly detection, you can essentially pass it things where one category has a lot of data and the other category doesn't have that much data. So think, for example, of credit card fraud as an example. With credit card fraud, a credit card company probably has a lot of examples of here are valid credit card transactions, and the amount of fraud that happens is probably a very small percentage when compared to the total data set, hopefully. So in that case, the algorithms can do some extra stuff to extrapolate for that and to account for the fact that they don't have very many, negative examples. Also, you can do this with predictive maintenance or, pipeline failure detection or other things like that, where you have kind of very few examples of bad data, but a lot of examples of good data, and being able to extrapolate for that. All right, that's anomaly detection. So moving on, this is essentially the kind of model that you want to build when you're doing supervised learning. So I have some data set that I want to pass in, and you can get it into Azure a number of different ways. And I've written some blog posts on that. I'm happy to share the links. And then you can do some kind of data cleaning. So that's when you might want to, for example, throw out that data where the contact quality was zero, and other things like that where that data maybe isn't that useful, or there's missing values or whatever. And then you want to split your data. And the reason we split our data is because when you're training or when you're actually, you build a model with some amount of the data, but then you want to actually test it and see how good it is. And so a great way to test it is actually to hold back some of that initial data and say, all right, after I've built this model and trained it, let me, pass in some of those things, because you already have, that given data with the right answers. So we know, for this housing information, here is the actual price. And then we can pass it in the model and see how close our model comes to predicting the price that we know it actually cost. So that's why we hold back some for test data, because if we test on data that we've already trained with, it obviously is going to know the answer to that. So typically, a good way to split is roughly, 70-30 or 75-25. So you want the majority of the data to go into that training set, so it's used to actually build the model. So let's say I pass, 75% of my data into that training data that's used to train the model, and then I hold back the remaining, let's say 25%, and then use that as test data that I will pass in to score the model. And then there's a lot of great things to evaluate the model. There's lots of great ways to visualize your data and stuff like that in Azure Machine Learning. But this is the basic pattern that you might follow for actually building a predictive model like this. Now, the other thing I didn't address here is algorithm. We need to pass an algorithm into here. And so if you're not a machine learning expert, How do you figure out, oh my gosh, there's these 25 different algorithms in Azure Machine Learning staring at me in the face. Which one do I choose? And so enter the Azure Machine Learning Algorithm Cheat Sheet. This is actually an old version. Let me jump here to a newer version that they've just released. And so in this particular model, the way it works is you actually start here in the center, and then depending on what you want to do, you can move to the appropriate area. So to find these unusual data points, you have anomaly detection. To discover structure and groupings in your data, you can use clustering. To do predictions of these discrete categories, as we saw, you could do these classification ones, and then predicting these values on a continuum, you would go regression. So we want to predict categories in the problem that I'm solving of lie detection, so we would go here first. And then do we want to do three or more or just two? And for what we want to do, we want to just do two, because we're going to say everything is either a truth or a lie. So we would go here, and then you can see there's a number of different algorithms available, and they kind of call out, here's what each algorithm is good at. So for example, a two-class SVM is great if you have over 100 features, so for really, really high number of features. And features are essentially those inputs into the Azure Machine Learning algorithm. So if you have a lot of different inputs, SVM works really well. And then it kind of differentiates between linear models and like decision forest and other non-linear models there as well. So a lot of cool things you can do to kind of give you a nice head start or peek at, okay, this would be a good one to check out first. All right. So now if you are interested in downloading that, the Azure Machine Learning Cheat Sheet is available for download at aka.ms/Azure Machine Learning Cheat Sheet. All right, so now let's jump in and I'll show you what I've actually built. So this is the Azure Machine Learning Studio. And this is what enabled me to actually build my experiment. So I start here by actually passing in all of the truth data and all of the lie data. Now let me point out, I'm not actually extracting out just the area around the questions here. So this wasn't trying to do lie detection at this stage. This was just a really early look at, you know, can I differentiate between those two sessions in general? I was kind of prototyping to see if this would even work because I had no idea. And so I took the truth data and the lie data, merged them both together here with an add rows. And then in this metadata editor, I just said that the label that we're predicting, and in machine learning speak, label is your output, features are your input, and then label is your output we were trying to predict. So I set that is truth column to be the label here. And then I split it 70-30, like I was saying before. And so then what I was able to do is run two different algorithms. We have here a logistic regression and a decision jungle. And then I have the ability to evaluate these next to each other. So you can right-click on the output node of that evaluate model, and I get an evaluation result. Now, I knew when I saw this right away that there's no way this could be right. Essentially, what I'm doing right here is, if you look at this, this gray line in the middle, that's essentially random chance. So, random choice, you know, rolling the dice, here's how you would do. So you want something that's obviously better than that. And this is essentially perfect. So it was making a perfect prediction. And so I knew, okay, EEG data is really noisy. There's no way it could work that well. And so what was actually happening is I was passing in all of the data. You could see it was predicting everything perfectly. The number of true positives and true negatives were extremely high. There were no false negatives and false positives. Perfect accuracy and prediction. So no way that could be right. And so I thought about it for a second, and I was passing in all the data just because I wanted to see, okay, in general, you know, how you know, was there anything in there that you know, I was overlooking, or I wanted to have everything in there and then start to pull back. And right away I saw the problem. One of the things I'm passing in there is timestamp, and I am passing in, you know, I ran all of the truth data first and then all of the lie data. So it could very easily just say, okay, if the time was before here, it's a truth, and if the time is after here, it's a lie, and make a perfect prediction. It figured out that the timestamp was the most relevant feature. So you can see that's how an algorithm works. That's how it's figuring out the data and using kind of each of those different features as input. And so I realized, no, time should not actually matter here at all. So now I went back and did another run and excluded some of that information. So I'm only passing in the core EEG. So let me show you some of that data and what I was doing here. And here in this particular experiment, again, I'm combining, taking the truth and the lies, combining them together, And here I'm doing a project columns. And what that allows you to do is exclude some columns. You can project only some columns forward and take out others. So in this case, what I'm doing here is I'm taking out a number of things that just weren't important to the experiment. The timestamp is one of them. And really, I'm only sending through the EEG data. So if I right-click right here and hit visualize, it actually can show me here is the data that is being passed through. So you can see now I'm only passing through, you know, these 14 channels of EEG. So there they are right there. And there's actually great visualization here where I can see here's the mean, here's the median. This number of unique values. There's zero missing values. So every row actually has a value in here. And we're treating it as a numeric thing, and it's a feature, which means it's an input. So all kinds of great visualization here, as well as a histogram, too, that shows kind of the distribution of your data. So I have that data available for all of the 14 channels of data that I'm passing in. And then I'm also passing in the marker, because I want that 0 and 1 value to be able to extract it later. And then whether it's the truth or not. So that's my label column, what I want to be able to predict later. So here's all the data that I have now. Again, I'm doing my split. And again, I want to stress this isn't actually doing lie detection at this point. It's really, since I'm passing in all the data, I wasn't pulling out just the data around the questions. But at this point, you can see that things are looking very promising. If I visualize this, again, using my logistic regression and a decision jungle, you can see on the score data that I have, that first algorithm, which was the linear one, the logistic regression, we have a fairly good data right here. So you can actually look and see here's the number of true positives and true negatives. And these are the numbers that you want to be very big, right? You want your data to correctly predict a true, the positive and the negative. And then there's also the false ones. And you want these numbers to be as low as possible. So you can see on that logistic regression one, I got an accuracy of about, 71%. And then there's other values, precision and recall and things like that, that determine how good your data is. And then kind of all of those put together, you get that area under the curve, which is AUC right here. And so the area under the curve you can see is decent, but not phenomenal. But then we have the second one, and the area under the curve here is actually amazing. So it's doing a very good job of predicting exactly, which ones are doing well. And we have an area under the curve here of, 98% essentially. You can see good, my true positives and my true negatives are very high. My false negatives and false positives are very low. Good accuracy, precision, recall. So a lot of good stuff here. So again, this isn't doing lie detection yet because I was passing in all the data. I wasn't pulling out the stuff based on the marker. But this is very, very promising early results to show what we can do. And so I have some new experiments that I'm running now where essentially what I'm going to do is I'm actually extracting out that data right here, just the data that was used at the time of the question. So I'm grabbing those areas where the marker equals 1, pulling those out, and then doing some interesting things with those features to try to build a true lie detector. So I'm really excited about this work. There's more to come. I'm still in very early stages, but so far it's just incredible, and it's been so easy and fun to use Azure Machine Learning. It's a great tool. You can just drag and drop these modules in there. There's support for R and Python, so you can run little scripts embedded in there as well. So it's just an incredible tool, and this has been amazingly fun work. So let me just show you very quickly my shortcomings, and then we'll close. So this is very early work. So in the fashion of the good little grad student I used to be at one point, let me talk about the shortcomings of this work as it stands right now. There's a couple of things. So first of all, the EEG data is doing polling, so it's not continuously running. But the sample rate is 128 readings per second, which translates to approximately every 8 milliseconds we get a reading. And since you saw from that research that P300 effect, so essentially I think that was essentially happening 300 to 500 milliseconds. And since we're getting readings every 8 milliseconds, I think that's good enough. So I'm actually okay with that shortcoming now. On my initial run of this data, as you saw in that slide I went through really quickly, the sensors weren't all operating at green yet, but I've since kind of figured out the headset and running it all green at this point. So this is, and I've done a second run of the data, which had all of the sensors showing green. So I'm okay with this now as well. Now, the problems I'm still trying to tackle. Number one, so far I've only run this on one person, which is my husband. And so I've gotten his data. So what that does is it allows me to build a model potentially that can predict him telling a lie, but may not be able to generically apply to any person. So the next step is actually to do a second or a really big data run where I'm going to be doing this on a lot of different people, collecting that data, and then being able to use that to hopefully generically predict truth or lie on any person. And then finally, the last thing, and this is the problem that really this is the hardest one. Don't have a great solution on this yet, but that's just the accuracy of the markers. So you saw when I had that test bench software running and I was, you know, my procedure was ask a question, hit send, the marker, ask a question, hit send. But again, that may not perfectly pinpoint the exact moment in his head, you know, if he's doing any anticipating of the question, anything like that, I might not be getting it exactly right and being able to extract out exactly the right time when he's doing his thinking. So again, I'm doing everything I can to try to improve that by using good sample questions that he can anticipate and things like that. So we'll continue on the best we can trying to do that, but that's the one thing that's probably the hardest to deal with. I'm also going to try to use other mechanisms that kind of do some average over time and try to grab a good time slice that will grab the information in there. So doing everything I can to account for that, but that's really the trickiest thing right now. All right, so I love this. This is really exciting work. I'm really having fun with it. I love this headset, the Emotive Epic Plus headset for reading EEG. I love Azure Machine Learning. It's been a great tool to utilize, and I am gonna keep moving on those next steps and hopefully have more to share with you soon. Thanks a lot.